Okay, thank you very much, Derek. Thank you very much, John. Let me give you the background. Derek told me before the symposium that I need to be very brief. I need to finish within 15 minutes, and I need to prepare very clear presentation to convince you whether iron is really important and how to diagnose iron deficiency. But Derek obviously set the stage. I would give you some more details regarding the iron deficiency and actually trying to set up the stage for the treatment discussion which will follow my presentation. First, a very brief summary of the iron turnover in general for cardiologists. There is a duodenum absorption of 1 to 2 milligrams per day of iron. Then iron is bound to plasma transferrin and actually moved to the periphery and stored in the muscles, in the liver, in the bone marrow, in the reticular endothelial macrophages. And actually, for your perusal, iron loss needs to be equally the same as the iron intake, namely 1 to 2 milligrams per day. So this is message number one. Message number two, as Derek already alluded to, iron is deficiency is traditionally linked with anemia. And this is obviously normal, because iron is actually a key element of erythropoiesis. You see here there again a very nicely pictured, clear to be clearly understood for cardiologists, pathway of erythropoiesis. You see the first step, which is erythropoietin dependent, and the later stage, which is iron dependent. And obviously there is no doubt that this traditional view holds the truth. Iron is a critical element of erythropoiesis, but I would like to draw your attention that iron is much more. We can have patients with iron deficiency without anemia, what Derek already told you. And iron is essential for growth and survival at different levels, at the very deep level of cells and tissues, at the level of the whole organ for body, and for the population-like scale. And if we go very deeply to the cell level, iron is particularly important for cells of high mitogenic potential and high energy demand. And we would present soon a very interesting data regarding iron deficiency in the cardiomyocytes. At the time being, for the time being, we can say that iron deficiency, if occurs, is related to mitochondrial dysfunction, to deranged enzyme activity, to abnormal transport and of structural proteins and apoptosis, affecting tissue remodeling, impaired organ efficiency, and finally leading to impaired exercise capacity, reduced work efficiency, and last but not least, increased mortality and morbidity. So that's quite important, and I believe the stage is already set to discuss iron deficiency and heart failure. Four elements needs to be mentioned. First, prevalence. Second, potential causes, association with symptoms and outcomes, and obviously diagnosis, which would be followed by the presentation of treatment and repletion of iron deficiency in patients with chronic heart failure. Shall we start with prevalence? This is the study we did together with the Derg group, 1,500 patients, 1,500 patients across the whole spectrum of heart failure. And a very clear message: in the whole population, iron deficiency was present in half, in 50% of these patients were iron deficient. And it was regardless of being anemic and non-anemic, nearly 45% of those patients who were with normal hemoglobin level tended to be iron deficient, 45%. And anemics, iron deficiency occurred in around 65 to 70% of patients. So huge scale. Message number two, disease severity, as evidenced by NIHA class and NT-proBNP, was associated with the iron deficiency. So in other words, those who were most sick were more iron deficient. But this graph shows you something very important. In the red bars, there is the phenomenon Derek nicely described, iron deficiency without anemia. You will see that despite having patients with relatively mild symptoms, NIHA class 1 to 2, around one-third of these patients still tended to be non-anemic but have the evidence for iron deficiency. very important message. What are the potential causes? Together with Eva Jankowska, we draw this graph, pointing out at two important parts of iron deficiency in heart failure. One can be absolute iron deficiency, so no iron available at all, or only a little of iron, which we call absolute iron deficiency, no iron stored in the storages, pools, due to malnutrition, malabsorption, or blood losses. However, this part is more important because we have a clear evidence that in patients with chronic heart failure, we have enough iron. However, iron is immobilized in the iron stores. In other words, we have functional iron deficiency, reduced iron mobilization, mainly, we believe, due to pro-inflammatory signals from the periphery. So this is quite important. And we have here a player, we believe, hepcidin, which is a small molecule crucially involved in the iron metabolism. Hepcidin is produced in the liver. We still don't have convincing evidence in heart failure, but we are investigating this. Focus on this part. Hepcidin is actually elicited by the pro-inflammatory signals and leading to decreased absorption of iron in the gut, which is of key importance to understand why we do need IV iron, and also iron being trapped in reticular endothelial system, making the functional iron deficiency as a key element of the pathophysiology of iron deficiency in heart failure. What about association with symptoms and outcomes? Dirk already told you. There are two separate pathways, and we need to be aware of it. One pathway related to iron deficiency is actually related to anemia. One pathway of iron deficiency is related to lack of hemoglobin, so the decreased delivery of oxygen to the periphery. But there is a separate pathway related to iron deficiency at the periphery, mainly in the aerobic enzymes, leading to a poor utilization of iron in the mitochondria, both finally resulting in a poor oxygen utilization, poor oxygen consumption at the periphery. Very important. Two parallel mechanisms, not necessarily linked with each other, explaining why you have symptoms without having anemia. What about clinical evidence? In fact, we have clinical evidence from animal studies, which appeared already 40 years ago. We simply didn't pay attention. These are very elegant studies in the different models of anemia and iron deficiency in rats. If you see here, rats who were kept at the same level, at the same level of hemoglobin of around 10 grams per deciliter, were dramatically different regarding their exercise capacity related to their iron status. If you repleted iron in these rats, they tended to exercise 4-5 times more than those who were iron deficient, still maintained at the same level of hemoglobin level. So this is much more than only anemia, and we have a clear evidence from clinical studies. This is the study we have performed some years ago together with Eva Jankowska, showing that actually, if we look at the broad population of heart failure patients in the context of exercise intolerance, we analyze oxygen consumption and ventilatory response to exercise in the context of iron deficiency and anemia, and found that what really matters is more iron deficiency than anemia affecting both peak oxygen consumption and ventilatory response to exercise. Those who tended to be no anemic and iron deficient, they had much lower oxygen consumption and much higher ventilatory response to exercise than those who were non-iron deficient. So very important message. Obviously, those who were both anemic and iron deficiency tended to be very sick regarding oxygen consumption and exercise, ventilatory response to exercise. This is another study. This is another element. Dirk also introduces in his talk relationship between iron deficiency and quality of life. Iron deficiency is related to poor quality of life independently of anemia. If you look at this study, there were no difference between anemics and anemics, non-significant difference. However, what really mattered was the status of iron deficiency. Those who were iron deficiency, they did much poorer in terms of quality of life versus those who were non-iron deficient. Very important, again, showing the association between anemia and iron deficiency. Iron deficiency, irrespectively of anemia, can affect exercise tolerance and quality of life. The question is whether iron deficiency can affect the survival. Again, we don't have prospective data. We have a retrospective sort of analysis from databases, and this is the biggest data. Again, we did it together with DAC, 1,500 patients, clear evidence that mortality increases with iron deficiency, and clear evidence that what really matters is more iron deficiency than anemia, which is related to poor outcome as a important and independent prognosticator. What about the diagnosis? This is perhaps something, the most difficult one, and we need more and more understanding. We need more and more work. Some hematologists would like to look into the bone marrow to understand whether there is a iron in the bone marrow or not, but we already heard that it is not the only problem of lack of iron, but also immobilization of iron, so functional iron deficiency. So we would love to have biomarkers. Biomarkers in the blood. So the best biomarker to characterize impaired iron storage is obviously ferritin. You heard it. So ferritin characterizes impaired iron storage in the body. What about iron being utilized for everyday basis, for metabolism? There are several biomarkers, and for the time being, the most commonly used is transferrin saturation. I will show you some data to believe that soon we will be using soluble transferrin receptor. We don't have a convincing data yet, but I can tell you that, again, together with DAC, we have a very interesting observation in these 1,500 patients that it may work even better than a traditional approach to detect iron deficiency. So, to summarize, current iron parameters for iron deficiency, ferritin, which depicts iron stored in the body. Obviously, we have several limitations, one of which is particularly important in heart failure because ferritin is an acute phase reactant which is increased in heart failure anyway. So you can have a pretty normal ferritin level, but still you may have iron deficiency, predominantly functional iron deficiency. This is why we're adding the second criterion, transferrin saturation, to it, which is actually measuring the amount of iron available for erythropoiesis, for utilization. And we are combining these two to diagnose iron deficiency. And as Derek said, either ferritin below 100 or if between 100 to 300, so normal level, diminished or the decreased TSAT below 20%. This is the algorithm we have been suggesting based on our paper and our clinical experience. Again, iron deficiency, as I said, ferritin below 100, or if between 100 to 300, decreased transferrin saturation. Obviously, the second element in the diagnosis of iron deficiency, which needs to be clearly mentioned, is whether or not anemia is present. Obviously, if there is anemia, we need to have a very careful evaluation of the causes of anemia, but this is beyond the scope of this discussion, but we need to take this into consideration and deal with iron deficiency if we have iron deficiency present, and Stefan is going to discuss with you the details. And what about soluble transferrin receptor? This is a quite important parameter, quite important biomarker, and I believe that soon we are going to hear that in iron deficiency on erythroblast, there are more transferrin receptors to catch the blood from the to catch the iron from the blood, and some of them are shed. So the higher soluble transferrin receptor, the higher chance of iron deficiency. So the other inverse correlation, and as I said, we have a good evidence that it may well become a very important biomarker. Last slide showing that we need to promote the guidelines. We need to promote the rule how to diagnose anemia and iron deficiency. 2 years ago, Claudio Mori presented an elegant survey across Europe, showing that actually even anemia is not widely recognized by cardiologists. Around 80% of cardiologists are sort of happy to diagnose anemia, and only half of them are keen to measure ferritin level. Only 10% of them are keen to measure transferrin saturation, which brings me to my final slide, and perhaps I start with the last statement that ESC guidelines recommend, as you heard, think and diagnose iron deficiency, base it on ferritin and transferrin saturation level, and the recommendation class is one level of evidence C. But as a major conclusion, I would like to say that we need to remember that iron deficiency is still the main cause of anemia. However, it can be present irrespectively of anemia, affecting around half of our patients. Iron deficiency is independently of anemia related to reduced exercise capacity, quality of life, and poor outcome. And I am sure it sets the stage for an elegant presentation how to treat iron deficiency in patients with chronic heart failure. Thank you.